You're listening to the Simply Lived In podcast, episode number 7. Today we are chatting with Samantha Willock, the woman behind the blog Jack Pine in Time. In this episode, Samantha shares about how she created her own version of a capsule wardrobe, the impact of reducing screens in her life, and what she did when she felt like she just couldn't do it all anymore.
You're listening to the Simply Lived In podcast, where we understand that needing less helps us to be so much more. Entrepreneur and sustainability advocate Meg Ross will help you to break down how to create more space in your life. Get ready to hear from strong women who are redefining what living well looks like. If you've dreamed of being present, cutting the clutter, and putting an end to the busyness, this is the place to be. Here's your host, designer, motivator, and simplicity enthusiast, Meg Ross.
Hello, Simply listeners. Today we have the honor and the privilege to speak with Samantha Willock. Samantha is a camp dweller, photographer, and a bloodhound mama who is currently converting a school bus with her partner, Jackson McDowell. Together, they make up Jack Pine in Time, a team that helps small businesses build their brand by allowing folks to tap into their idea tank and using the skills that they have been blessed with. They have recently taken residence at a girls' camp where they serve as media director and wilderness director during the summer and take care of the land during the off seasons. Thank you so much for joining us today, Samantha.
Can you share with us a little bit about yourself and your journey towards a slower, more simple, and sustainable lifestyle?
Yeah, so I'm born and raised in Minnesota. I grew up in Cottage Grove, Minnesota, and I went to Winona State University with the plan to be a teacher, and I ended up finding photography, and I ended up switching my major to study advertising and mass communications, and that's where I found photography and started shooting weddings, shooting engagement photos, anyone that needed photos, and it was just for fun. And that was the part of the advertising that I liked, was the beginning creative part. And I ended up as the marketing coordinator for the USA High School Clay Target League, and it kind of meshed my love for working with kids and doing photography and marketing at the same time. So I worked with them for a year, and I decided that working with kids was my real passion, and I decided to go back to school. And that brings us to a little bit more present day, and I decided to go back to school to get my teaching license. And while I was doing that, I served in the AmeriCorps in Bemidji, Minnesota, at an alternative school. And while I was doing that, I was shooting weddings. I was doing my photography. That was my source of income. I shot a wedding in Sweden and was going all over the place doing that just because I loved it. And so I was serving in the AmeriCorps at the same time. And then Jackson and I started dating. And that's actually part of what brought me to Bemidji. And he is a huge reason why I had started to move towards a slower way of living. He is a biologist, and he is very environmentally driven and interested in helping make the world a better place. And so through dating him, I learned a ton about things that I was doing and that a lot of us do that hurt the environment. And so that's when we started to make some life changes, was when I was living in Bemidji.
I love that. Yeah, for me, it was like a similar thing. I kind of met people who already had some ideas that I hadn't been introduced to yet. And then I just slowly started taking on more and more of them because it really made sense. Like, I love how the idea of living a more simple life also impacts the world. So it betters my own life, but then it also can better you know, the planet and global warming and all of these other huge topics that we're taking on right now can all be, I think, made better just through our own personal choices.
Totally. Absolutely. And when I was in Bemidji, when I was, my time ended in the AmeriCorps, I was working at a plant and flower shop, and actually the owner at the time was also very environmentally driven, and she was changing, trying to change some practices in the way things were done, like with the slow flower movement and at shopping local. And that is actually how I ended up getting connected with the job that I'm at right now at the girls' camp. Is the owner of the girls' camp is also a flower farmer that we bought local flowers from instead of having them, you know, shipped from, you know, out of the country or something like that. And so that's how I got connected with the girls' camp and where we are in the middle of the North Woods right now.
That's so great. And I love that you just said slow flower movement, because I've actually never heard of that specifically. And I was just recently having a conversation explaining what the slow fashion movement was. And they were like, oh, is it like the slow food movement? And I was like, oh my gosh, I hadn't heard of like all of these different slow movements, but I love it. Like, they all are connected with this bigger idea of lifestyle and slowness. And it's just great.
Absolutely. Yeah. The slow flower movement has a lot to do with, just tough conditions that, flowers are grown in, and also with our carbon footprint of shipping flowers. And that's what happens a lot. But they're actually, even up here in the North Woods where the, zone that they're in, the growing season is so short, they're still able to produce so many flowers for such a large part of the wedding season. When the florists are doing weddings, it's amazing what can still be done up here and only have to travel like 50 miles versus, you know, 150,000 miles. So that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that is so great. So one of your goals, I was kind of following along with your journey a little bit, and you and your partner made a list of goals about what you wanted to achieve from a slower lifestyle. And one of those things was that you wanted to be able to make more. And I saw that you are recently finished converting an old school bus into a camper, which I thought was a pretty cool way to be spending some of this extra time you're creating. So can you tell me a little bit more about that story? And I mean, how it even came, how you even decided to do this, and then what that process looked like for you?
So Jackson and I are major dreamers. We come up with these crazy ideas, like, and he's very handy. So a lot of the things I used to dream about can actually happen now because he is a good carpenter. And we were just joking about buying a bus or some, like, Airstream or something like that to flip for me to use for photography. And I also thought it would be funny because I was going to school to be a teacher, so if I was the photographer teacher driving around in a school bus, we thought that would be funny. We made all sorts of jokes about it, and one day he was sitting and looking on Craigslist, and a school district near us was actually selling a very nice used school bus, full 74-passenger school bus, and we went and looked at it, and just craziest thing we've probably ever done together, bought a school bus. And we are not living in it. We flipped it to use it as a camper. So instead of having an RV or just pitching a tent, we are going to be taking the bus with us. And I also am using it for styled shoots and different photo shoot things. I actually have a bride for this fall that's interested in using it, who's a teacher, and she thinks it would be cool to take photos with it. So we gutted the whole thing, did it all just the two of us with the help of a few of our neighbors, where we were living prior to camp, and completely gutted, took all the seats out, went through a whole process of sanding the inside, and we painted the outside. You can see some pictures on my blog I haven't put the final images up yet because we used it as our U-Haul on our way up to camp, so it's kind of a mess right now. But so the last step we have now is paint the outside, and it stayed snowy a little bit longer than we thought before we moved. So it is still yellow right now, but it will be white eventually. And the reason we wanted to do it is because we're both project people. We love to make things, create things, we would rather spend time making things than to buy something already made. And our goal was to try and start doing more projects like that together. And this was a big one that we could do together versus like my separate project and his separate project. So pretty fun. I still can't believe that when I say we own a bus, that it's real.
Yeah, that is so crazy. One of my favorite things about that story is how you said that dreams that you used to have on your own are now possible because you found this person that's so compatible with you. And I love that like, look at what you can do together when you share a vision and have complementary skills and just are ambitious enough to go for it.
Yes, totally. All of our parents and family think we're crazy, but hey, it's still running and it got us up here to camp. So looking good so far.
That's awesome. So something else that you said you were working towards, and actually this is one of my personal goals too, through living more slowly and simply, is eliminating decisions. And I think that's something that, I mean, people do not realize how many decisions we make every single day of our lives. So how has that kind of looked for you, and what have you done? What have you done to help you eliminate some decisions in your everyday lives?
A major piece for myself personally was clothing. I have always been a bargain shopper, a thrifter, more cheaper things. And I got to a certain point in my life where I realized that the things that I was wearing every day were the things that I had spent a little bit more money on, and I was caring a lot for them. And so I read a whole bunch of books about the minimalist wardrobe and capsule wardrobe and all these different things. And the capsule wardrobe was just, I didn't know how it could fit into my lifestyle in Minnesota, with the fact that we have four different seasons and that, you know, just the number, I need four coats, essentially, one for every season. And so after doing a bunch of research about it, I essentially created my own form of a capsule wardrobe. And before we moved, I completely went through my closet, and more than just like getting rid of a couple tops, I got rid of over half of what I owned in my closet, including shoes and things like that. And I bought a few staple things that are things that I wear all the time now. And I was spending too much time picking out what I was going to wear, worrying about where something went. I was just had too much. And the fact that I had too much was making more decisions for myself. And so the clothing was a huge thing for us. And that was something also that I kind of learned from Jackson, is he knows what he likes. I call it like the Jackson uniform. Like, he likes button up short sleeve shirts and khaki pants, and that's kind of what he wears, and he knows it. And so that's all he has. And so instead of trying to be somebody he's not, he just wears exactly what he likes. So I'm trying to do that because it makes it really easy to get ready in the morning.
Yeah, I love that. That's something that I've been, you know, struggling with too, as I'm like trying to transition to a capsule wardrobe and I'm figuring out what my style is, because my style is so boring. It's literally white t-shirts and denim, and I'm, you know, designing clothing, and I feel like I'm supposed to be wearing these, I don't know, it was just something more cool than a white t-shirt and jeans, you know, but you have to wear what you like. And as I've also been doing my own research and digging into all these like ethical labels and minimalistic companies, and you know, I have my own capsule collection that I'm designing now and will be producing, which is really kind of from this idea of just being true to myself. And I stay at home for my work, so I could easily just wear sweatpants every day, you know, but it's like, that doesn't make me feel good. So I need to find the balance of clothing that, you know, I like aesthetically, but also functions with my lifestyle. And it really is kind of just a very streamlined bunch of clothes. And you don't need that much. Yeah.
Right.
So that is really cool. And what else I like about your story too is how you said you kind of read about the capsule and you just didn't really think it would work for your lifestyle. And instead of being like, I can't do it, you know, I might as well just not even bother, you just said, how can I make this work for me? And how can I make my clothing serve me better? Because that's, I think, what it's really about, is creating pieces and outfits that serve you well. It doesn't matter, you know, what the idea of capsule wardrobe is or anything else, really.
Right, right. Absolutely. And the making choices, like, the whole thing for me about making choices is I am in a stage of my life where I'm honestly being confronted with a lot of really big life choices. Like, where are we going to live? What am I going to do for a job? All of those things. And it now includes Jackson and my dog, Frida. So it's, if I can eliminate simple things like what I'm having a hard decision of what I'm going to wear, or cooking more simply, things like that, that's what I have to do to make it through so that I have enough energy to make those bigger decisions.
Yeah, I love that. Like, decision fatigue is a real thing. You know, if you make too many decisions, you just wear out, which it sounds silly, but I think it's really true.
Absolutely.
And another thing you guys said you were going to do, and what you already kind of said, you read a bunch of books and stuff and did all this research, but one of your goals in having a more slow lifestyle was to have less screen time and more books in your life, which I also loved so much, because that's something I've just committed to recently as well. It's like, I stare at a screen all day, you know, doing this and that, and then I just keep staring at more screens at night to like watch TV or something. And it just seems silly, you know? So how is that going for you? Is it working, or do you get like sucked back into Netflix or whatever?
Well, the hardest part for me is my job is a screen. I do social media and website work for a couple different brands and companies. And so it's so hard to separate my life and my work life when it's so simple for my job to, like, in the middle of the evening, like right about now, I'll be checking the brand's Instagram and things like that. I really am having to learn how to separate that. It's, in our home that we lived in before camp, we chose to only have, internet. And we had an Apple TV, and we would watch Netflix, and that's how we would watch. If we wanted to watch a show, that's how we watched TV. When we lived in Bemidji, we had TV, and we watched way too much TV. We lived in a studio apartment, so anywhere that you were in the, in our house, you could see the TV. So the TV, you know, TV was a huge part of our life. Then we moved, and we chose to not have a TV anywhere in any of our living space except for a basement that I didn't really like to be in, because I thought it would force me to, if I really wanted to watch it, I really wanted to watch it, because I was willing to go down and sit in the basement. And then now that we're up at camp, we honestly just don't have a lot of time for TV. And I would say, because we're so exhausted at the end of the day, we have been watching a little bit more Netflix than we have, but we really love to read. It's kind of our new, like, challenge to each other. Jack and I, is we choose to sit and read for a half an hour, or we try and read before we go to bed. And we have both actually had a really good luck in the last couple months of hitting like four really good books that we've both loved. And so, honestly, reading is just a lot of fun to us. We find it really enjoyable, so it's not that hard to make the choice to not watch TV. For me, it's more scrolling. Instagram, I love Instagram. I'm a photographer. I love pictures. So I just always want to be looking at it. So, and again, it comes back to Jackson. Like, he could throw his phone in the lake and be perfectly fine, and he would prefer it that way. And so he is really good at keeping me in check. Like, put the phone down, Sam. Like, let's do something else. Let's read. Let's go outside. So, again, he's really, really good helper when it comes to all these things that we want to do, because he's kind of already living that way.
Yeah, that's great. It's so good to have somebody else who's like kind of, you know, just in check and in sync with your goals also. And I saw your, on your blog, you had a little plug for the book Chasing Slow. And I've been looking for more books around slowness and this idea. So I just bought it. Like you said, it was a good book. And I was like, I need a good book. So I just bought it on Amazon today. And it was like the best impulse decision I think I've made.
It's so good. It is a good read and it's a good resource. It's so good. You'll love it.
Good. I can't wait. So I know that you've said that Jackson was a really big inspiration for you to live, you know, more slowly and everything like that. But what do you think ultimately it was that gave you the courage to start living a more slow life and just start it? That was something you had talked about also, where you just started to do it and it was easy to wait for a change in the season or wait for a change in career, but you just decided to take the plunge and it didn't really matter, you know, what other people thought about it. You just decided you were going to do it. So was there like any events that led up to that decision, or why do you think you just decided to go for it?
Well, honestly, it's the season of life that I'm in. I am kind of in the middle, in limbo of figuring out what my career is going to be. I'm doing 100 different things, or I was doing 100 different things, and I was really struggling to juggle it all, to be a good girlfriend, to be a good family member, friend, all of that. While I was so focused on, I was focusing on too many things and not doing a great job at just a couple things. And it was really hard for me to notice that. And I was not enjoying like the process of things anymore. And I love to do crafts. I love to create things. I love to do like decoration projects, like the bus and things like that. And I would have time to start something and then I wouldn't finish it. And I am not someone that's very happy with themselves if they can't finish something. And so that was kind of the trigger for me. Like, whoa, you are like, you don't even remember what you just did because you were thinking about 100 other things while you were doing it. And, you know, Things happen to other people, and it kind of like gives you a little check in, like, this life is so short and like I want it to be full and I want to enjoy the little things. Like, I want to really love cooking dinner tonight instead of rushing through it to get on to the next thing. And so, that was the set off point for me, with that I just wasn't enjoying where I was and what I was doing in that moment anymore.
I love that. That was just perfect. Everything you said, I feel the same way. And it's, I really had to practice just saying no to more things, you know, and just really focusing, and it feels selfish and you feel like there's all these expectations that other people have for you, but you know, at the end of the day, it's your life. And just like you said, you can't do everything and enjoy it all, you know?
Right. And I'm a creative, like, there are so many projects, so many cool things to be done, but, you know, we have to be, I had to just come to terms with the fact that I have to be okay with what I'm doing, and what I'm doing is enough, and I've already done, you know, it, what I'm doing is enough, and the projects that I'm doing don't need to be more. They just need to be done well. And they can't be done well if you have too many things going on. And being a good girlfriend and dog mom and daughter and all that was really important to me. And I felt like that was starting to slip because I was so anxious all the time about the things that I had to do.
And it's tough. It's totally tough. But another thing you just said that I really liked is having joy in the process and just appreciating where you are. And I think a huge part for me when I feel stress and overwhelmed and like I can't complete something or can't, you know, finish something I started, it's usually all because it's a pressure of time. Like I always feel like I'm under, you know, this like arbitrary, you know, whatever, like arbitrary time frame I set for myself to complete something. And because I have all these other things on my plate, I can't enjoy something that I really set out to create for joy and, you know, for a bigger purpose.
Absolutely. Totally.
And just letting go of some of those things that aren't as important really does make space for the things that are. You know, it's like, I don't know, I feel like you read some things like that or people say things like that and it's easy to just roll your eyes and be like, okay, whatever, you know, and just go back to all the list of things you were doing. But it really does make a difference. It's a common sense. You know, I don't mean to like ramble on, but it's something so simple. Like if you have less things on your plate, then you can enjoy the things that you actually decide to put on it, you know?
Right. And also, there is a better you to give to the people and things around you when you're not feeling shortchanged in time with the projects that you're doing. And I like to make sure that I'm putting my best work out there, or that I'm being the best employee or best client or whatever. I like to be making sure that I'm giving like my best self to whoever I'm working with. And you can't really do that if you're only able to give little pieces of yourself.
Yes, that is so true. So if people are loving what you're talking about and they're curious about your camp journey and your photography and your bus, where can they follow you online?
They can follow me on Instagram, is where I usually am, at Jack Pine and Time. And we also have a blog, www.jackpineandtime.com. I am known for not following through on my blog. I have a hard time sitting down and writing long things. So usually everything gets shared mostly on Instagram. Now that we are settled in at camp, I am going to start to do a weekly check-in to kind of keep people in the loop of what's going on up here on my blog. But my Instagram is where I'm usually at.
That is so great. Well, thank you. I so enjoyed our conversation today. So thank you for making a little bit of time to talk to us.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me. I'm so excited about your new podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Simply Lived In podcast. Dive into show notes for this episode and all past episodes at simplylivedinpodcast.com. If you love the show, please share with your friends. Help us to spread the power of simplicity.